So let's look at something like war and when it's justified and when it's not, and how would you apply some of the thinking of the basic moral intuition?
Right.
To when is a war justified?
That tends to vary at historical times, because if there's a center of gravity, let's say 10,000 years ago, the basic center of gravity in the basic moral sense was generally between what we're calling level 2 and level 3. There were sort of magic foraging tribes, and then there were large mythic empires, Greek, Roman, Indus Valley, in the Americas, Mayan, Aztec. And these great empires were classic level 3 political structures. And war under those circumstances was common, happened more often. There were things that went with it. Human sacrifice, for example, almost always happened on level 2 to level 3. Nobody did it more so than the Mayans and the Aztecs, but it happened around the world. I mean, every great civilization, as Campbell pointed out, was marked by a fury for human sacrifice. All of that is stage appropriate. That's, in a sense, okay at that time, because that's sort of the best that could be done given those circumstances. And in any event, it was done around the world in every major civilization that arose. So war and sacrifice and things that we would consider really abominations in certain ways had a kind of appropriateness at that particular stage. And so you have to judge the depth and span at that point is, in some cases, what war was doing was creating empires that had greater depth. They were level 3 than level 2, and therefore war in that limited context was justified to a certain extent, because it's out of those empires that these greater capacities for depth were built. That's my opinion in any event. But what is, in a sense, allowable at level 3 is not allowable at level 4 and level 5. And we find it immoral to do a lot of the things that would happen at that point. So just as a 6-year-old child is allowed to do certain things that if a 22-year-old did, we would find appalling. By the time you get to the Western Enlightenment, which is for us our classic level 4 rational, industrial, representative democracies, the modern era, we have a whole new sense of legal justice and rights that come into existence. Now, under those circumstances, we find things like slavery and cannibalism and human sacrifice to be immoral, and we outlaw them. And as a matter of fact, industrial societies were the only societal type in all of history that outlawed slavery. Foraging tribes had slavery, horticultural had slavery, agrarian had slavery. Industrial is the only societal type that outlawed slavery in about a 100-year period from 1770 to 1870. Under those circumstances, then the actual acceptability of moral impulse has changed. And so depth and span has switched. Certain things that empires could do and we thought were fine, all of a sudden we don't think they're so fine anymore, because it's devastating too much depth in too many people, and we don't find that acceptable. It doesn't mean that modern societies can't be warlike. They can. We're obviously, the United States, very war. We just have a lot of war in our history. And some of it can be justified. Some of it can't. And the basic moral intuition, again, doesn't have an answer. But what it does say is you have to, instead of just looking at all human beings as having the same intrinsic value, they have the same ground value, but they don't have the same depth value. There are higher and lower stages of depth. And therefore, instead of seeing everybody having the same value, which is one, let's say, or zero for that matter, and then war, you simply don't like war because it's bad in all instances. On the other hand, if you're looking at depth, there are cases where a greater depth is being served by a war or a process that would take other human beings' life for a larger cause. Again, all I'm saying is you have to look at what's being served.
So if somebody said, I just don't believe in war, I don't believe that there's ever a reason for it, what would you say? That person's just naive, idealistic? They don't understand the idea of death?
Well, they're living in a society that protects those rights and protects them, protects their existence, and will go to war in order to protect the belief that war is not important. And any society, there's no society that exists that hasn't had war to protect those rights. So that person, it's not naive, I suppose you could say, but they're mostly involved in a great deal of self-deception. Because it's just the rights that allows them to do that are rights that are protected by war if necessary. And I believe those rights should be protected because they're level 4 and level 5 rights. And those are very, very rare achievement and really didn't come into existence until the Western Enlightenment a couple hundred years ago with representative democracies at that moral stage of development. And those rights do have to be protected on occasion by war, rightly so.
How else could those rights be protected not by war? What other mechanisms could be put in
place?
Well,
you can't if you have terrorist bans at level 1 and level 2. I mean, because there's, unless you actually have a strong defense, warlords, gangs, feudal empires at level 2 and 3 will simply come in and take your wealth. And so we sort of, because we live in a context where we don't have to recognize the incredible defense mechanisms that we have in place protecting these rights, we're allowed to say, well, if we just leave everybody alone, well, everybody will be nice and we don't have to worry about it. But if there were absolutely no defense, if any country had absolutely no defense, Saddam Hussein would march into it like he would march into Kuwait, or the Mongolian Empire would march in, or the Aztecs would march in. That's what happens if you don't defend your boundaries against lower levels of development for which pillage and plunder is natural and native, just as like a street gang. If you live in a neighborhood where there's nothing but street gangs and you say, look, I don't believe in violence, I'm going to sit out here in the sun and I don't believe in guns, that's not going to protect you. If somebody goes by in a drive-by shooting, you're dead.
You don't believe there are nonviolent means of creating protection?
No, only
diplomatic means, other means.
Well, no, that's a whole, at what point? You mean stopping a drive-by shooting with Uzis or international means? Of course, diplomacy should be tried first, but that operates on the assumption that we have a defense in place. What I'm saying is if we had no defense at all, no military, no airplanes, no guns, we wouldn't have a country. Bandits, robbers, street gangs would take it over. That's just what particularly young males at stage 1, stage 2, moral development, that's what they do. And that's what we have to protect ourselves against.